Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers, for gamers, right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your tastes in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roast? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the ICAST Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roast, like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing! Do you like this show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, and you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show. Here for an early edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
I am not Derek Diamond.
No. Who are you?
I am Wally Phelps.
Yes. Derek is, of course, in the middle of a long game streak for the Blue Wahoos, so he will not be here this evening. So the official fact checker is here to officially fact check me live during the show for tonight.
Already see a misspelled word in the notes.
Yes. Well, really? Welcome, Rampage, to the chat room. You are in charge of booting people out of there that have already... Like, we had a guy jump into the chat room a minute ago when we first started, and he ran in, started yelling about being a pedophile, and then said, "Get good." And I'm like, not even playing anything. What are you talking about? Get out of here.
I didn't see it, so I think Jason's making it up.
I am not. You can go back on a Twitch stream and watch it. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. So, how we usually do this is we start out by talking about what we've been doing this week. So, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I have been recovering from a Fortnite injury.
Do tell, please.
So, Rampage and myself are an unstoppable team, and this finger, the one that I use to aim, went out on me and put me in so much pain I had to go to urgent care. And the doctor says, do you do something all the time with that one finger? Yes. So I am attributing it to Fortnite. And it's funny because I played last night for the first time since, you know, since I went to the doctor and it started feeling better. And, like, if you watch the stream, you'll hear me go, ow, oh, because, you know, I can't stop myself. I'm sorry.
I don't know why this reminds me of Revenge of the Nerds 2. When he's like, you're the only guy I know who can break his leg playing chess.
Yeah, we've gotten really big into Fortnite. I've been tracking my progress. I am 50 points away from being an epic gamer in the game, which is interesting. That's all just the crunching the numbers, you know, a third party website that tracks that. And I've been reading the Batman Fortnite crossover comic book, which is fascinating. It gives you a lot of insight in the actual Fortnite story. And basically, Batman shows up on the island, on the Fortnite island, unable to speak, unable to remember anything about his past, but he has all of his fighting skills. So he does a memento because he realizes that every 22 minutes, or when he dies, it starts all over. So he starts leaving himself messages.
I think I'm going to have to borrow this from you when it's done.
Sir, I have the online subscription service to DC Comics.
I know I need to play. I've been promising I'm going to play, and I will. I promise. I've just been kind of busy. And like this last week, Resident Evil Village dropped, and I have yet to play Resident Evil 7. So I want to play Village, but I also want to know who this Ethan character is. So I figured I better go back and play 7, which I'm having a pretty good time with it. I'm not a huge fan of the first person aspect of it. I don't feel like Resident Evil. It doesn't feel like Resident Evil to me. It feels like just a horror shooter. You know, like first person shooter. Doesn't really have that Resident Evil feel to it, but you know, I know they trying to do something a little different, you know, like 1 through 3 were different, 4 through 6, you know, 1 through 3 were the original kind of tank control games, and then you go from 4 to 6, which were over the shoulder third person, and of course these new ones are first person, and I'm okay with it, but you know, it doesn't really feel like Resident Evil to me.
Right. I understand where you're coming from. I played the Tone demo that they were calling it, you know, where they released a little chunk that was, you know, unrelated to the game, really. But with the headphones, with the 3D headphones, and just the... You can see it on Twitch. I think it's still on there. It is a lot of atmosphere, and I think that's what the biggest...
Yeah.
Takeaway from it was for me that and that giant 9-foot-tall goddess that just kind of barges in at the end of the demo. I mean, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Seven's, I mean, it's really good. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate it or anything. I'm really enjoying playing it. It's a great game. But, you know, past couple of months, I've gone through and done a replay of 1, 2, and 3. And it's very, very different from those early games. So,
yeah,
it's just you go from those to this, and it's kind of like this doesn't feel like Resident Evil at all.
Right.
So, another thing, the new Castlevania season dropped this week, too. I've watched like the first 4 episodes. So, I don't know if you have watched it, Wally, but I love Castlevania.
I hadn't. I've got a huge backlog of TV I need to watch, but no, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think they're actually moving into the storyline of Simon's Quest, almost, where everybody's trying to bring Dracula back. And that was kind of his quest in the, you know, Simon's Quest was he was going through trying to get all the different pieces of Dracula so he could put them back together and whip his ass again.
That's hardcore right there.
Yeah, he's like, I beat your ass so hard the first time, I'm gonna put you back together, bring you back to life, and kill you again. That's hard. Yeah. That's some hardcore Belmonting right there.
Right, that really is. So, that sounds like the type of shit that you that you have to go through because you went astray on a gang or something like that. You know, the mafia.
So it's not Simon, it's Trevor in the TV show, the ancestor of Simon. He's not collecting the pieces, but he's going through, like, there's all these rituals that he's, like, leading him back to the original city that, you know, Dracula declared war on humanity, and he's following all these clues and sacrifices and just, you know, all these people doing these different spells to try to bring Dracula back from the dead. So it's a very good story. I'm liking it so far. I'm really, really enjoying it.
You don't like the name Trevor.
Trevor Belmont.
Like, Trevor Belmont sounds like a trust fund baby.
Yeah, he does. What's like, up, Armin?
Wait until my father hears about this.
Yes. But yeah, I feel like the art style's gotten a little bit different this season for some reason. I can't really put my finger on it. Things feel a lot smoother this season. I can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe I don't know what's going on with it, but it's great.
Maybe hired more in-betweeners.
Maybe, I don't know, but I'm going to probably have it finished by next week, which might be hard because Pensacon is this weekend. So
that's true. Yeah. Have you tried watching Invincible at all?
No, I don't have Amazon Prime at the moment. Well, I got rid of it because my subscription ran out, and I got HBO Max. So that,
which is a good service.
I love HBO Max. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I originally got it so I could watch the Snyder Cut.
Yeah,
I still haven't finished it, and that's I probably won't.
Honestly. Invincible is a better use of your time.
Yeah.
But I watched all of it in 2 days because of how engrossed I was in the storyline. It's one of the, honestly, I couldn't get through The Boys, and a lot of people love The Boys. Yeah. I know that I'm probably in the minority there, but this had basically a lot of the same touch points, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think it was just done a lot better. So I don't know.
Yeah, I watched the first season of The Boys, and the second season came out right as my subscription ended for Amazon Prime. So
got you.
I haven't finished any of those, and so I might have to do something perplexing to watch those other Amazon Prime shows.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome to the chat room, everybody. Freddy versus all just joined us as well. Armez Jackson, thank all you guys for hanging out. Got a few more people in there too. We're about to go into the news. So are you ready? Anything else you want to talk about before we go into the news for this week?
Just one thing. I just wanted to show you this.
This podcast is over.
There's no avoiding him.
Why would you do that?
Look at him.
It's the Noid, everybody. He's got a pop figure of the Noid.
Yep, and I forgot all about it until I saw him on my shelf the other day, and I was like, oh, yeah, I bought that as kind of a tribute to my father, who was a Domino's pizza man during the Noid era. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I need to show everybody because look at him.
I don't
know. But we can move on.
Okay. Please, I have nothing to say to that. Let's go into the news. This came to us in an email from AxeBlade07 on ScreenRant.com. Zelda Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask I think this is an older article, a few days. This was published late April. I think they just announced these today. Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask coming to the Switch. It's been a rumor that they were coming because Zelda is celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. They're also regarded as some of the franchise's greatest hits. So I think I'd have to look it up, and I'm pretty sure they just released this today. I was seeing on Twitter. I'm not sure Majora's Mask, but I think I saw Ocarina of Time. I could look that up real quick. Nintendo of America. Let's see. Tweets. Let's see. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword coming out. Let's see. Skyward Sword HD. Lots of stuff about Skyward Sword today. No, there's a new Zelda and Loftwing amiibo that just launched alongside Skyward Sword. Maybe that's what I was seeing, was Skyward Sword. But yeah, it looks like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask are coming to the Switch. And if that happens, I may have to play them. I've played Ocarina of Time. I actually have it for the Nintendo 64. I never finished it. I would love to play it with, you know, updated graphics and all that kind of stuff. And Derek loves Majora's Mask, so I may have to give that one a try, too. That one sounds like a very dark episode in the Zelda series.
Yeah, I don't like the Zelda game, so I'm not even worried about it.
And yet you have a annoyed Pop, Funko Pop. Sir, we may have to have an intervention about your Funko Pop. That's obsession.
True. He says as he pulls.
Oh, yeah, the purple bug
plug. What are you talking about? That's why I pulled that up.
Good lord, man.
It's perfectly fine. This is fine.
You have a problem, sir. All right, next story is yours. You got it? Or did you freeze? I think Wally froze. Ah, no, he's back.
I did freeze. Hold on a second. Let me plug my computer directly into the internet.
Oh, okay. Hardwired in, you say?
Okay. Yes, hardwired in now. Yes, great. Okay. Whew! Are we doing the next? Am I doing the next one now?
Yes, this is an email from Armez Jackson.
Okay, so in this one says, Bandai Namco just registered trademarks for the GameCube exclusive series Baten Kaitos. Now, before Monolith Soft was developing the epic JRPG Xenoblade Chronicles, it was working with Tri-Crescendo on Baten Kaitos. Since the GameCube era, which saw the releases of some of those games, there's been no sign of a return apart from the canceled Nintendo DS project. So, will fans ever see a series make a comeback in any form? Well, there's no concrete evidence yet. But Bandai Namco has recently registered two trademarks in Europe for both of the GameCube exclusives. This includes Origins and the Eternal Wings of the Lost Ocean. While trademarks don't always necessarily mean certain games will make a return, there have been similar situations in the past that have led to announcements or more trademark negotiation.
I don't remember these games at all.
I don't either, and this came from Nintendo Life, but that is a new one altogether.
Yeah, the... What is that?
That's my work phone. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me turn that off.
That's professional podcasting here.
Yeah. Look, I'm not used to podcasting anymore, okay? Turn this thing off.
Actually, the cover for this Baten Kaitos Origins looks very familiar. I know I've seen that before. But
right, that's an image I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember these games at all.
I don't either.
I was never big on JRPGs back in the day. Still not
I tried,
really, but...
you know, it's one of those genres that never really captured my interest. Aside from the Final Fantasy Tactics series, but that doesn't count. Because that's a tactics game. That's not a Final Fantasy 3 X 2 plus server, X versus server.
Yes, I know, Rampage. We are very professional here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast.
You should see my Twitch streams.
This story, actually, Derek gave us this one. This one, we can credit this to Mr. Derek Diamond from NintendoLife.com. Say hello to the Wii Spii Portable, S-P-I-I, GBA-sized console. The Wii is a much-loved console, was actually rather cute and dinky back in the day when compared to the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Current-day modders and hackers often look for new ways to play the system. Let's see, the market is shrinking the console down to Game Boy size isn't closed yet, with Stoned Edge squeezing a Wii into a Game Boy Advanced SP case. It's a relatively tight fit, but it's smartly done. Controls inside the case consist of a mix of custom buttons and Joy-Con sticks, which will be ideal for drifting in Mario Kart Wii. A neat touch is that it even has analog triggers, taking us back to the GameCube era. And they have a little picture of it here and a little YouTube video if you'd like to go visit the NintendoLife.com site. Take you straight to the YouTube video. Looks kind of cool to me, but seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the last time someone squeezed a Wii in my GBA, I was without a GBA, and I never have forgiven my brother for this.
Yeah.
But at least this was adorable, and it is something that looks like I would be. But how do you play the Wii? There's no. I don't know. What is the usefulness of this?
Just because you can, I guess.
Okay.
Well, what I'm wondering is, if it's Wii games, how do you play them without the motion controls?
That's what I'm saying. Aren't you going to throw that thing?
I mean, unless you're just playing some of the games that, you know, don't require motion controls, but that's what, like, how many games did the Wii have? You know, a couple of hundred games, and there's maybe, like, five that don't use motion control.
And not even just that. None of the games that are worth having don't use the motion control. So I don't know what the usefulness of this is, unless it's just intended to be just a small Wii that you put inside of your console, I guess, to save space. But the Wii is small already.
I know.
What are you doing? It's the size of a car stereo. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. Like, it's already tiny as it is. Who knows? People do these things just because. Too much time. Hey, we were in a pandemic. Too much time on their hands.
Well, I would like to announce my Atari Jaguar that I have fit inside of this coffee mug.
Yes. If you could do it, you'd get a lot of hits on YouTube, I guarantee you.
You know what? You're right. I put an entire Atari Jaguar inside of this Noid Funko Pop. Two awful things together, making an even super awful thing.
Yeah, I still wouldn't want to play it at that
point. It runs Doom 64.
Woo! Yes.
The next piece of news here from Kotaku. I never can pronounce that correctly. LucasArts classic Zombies Ate My Neighbors returns to consoles and PC next month, which is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. Because the dead never rest, Lucasfilm Games and developer
Dormammu,
yeah. Come to bargain, have teamed up with enhanced versions of 1993 16-bit classic Zombies Ate My Neighbors and its less beloved sequel to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on June 29th. these new versions of Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and the 1995 follow-up Ghoul Patrol take the two tales of Zeke and Julie saving their town from evil creatures, tacks on a modern save system, and bundles them together with museum features, including game developer interviews, art collections, and a soundtrack browser. What is that? Okay.
Yeah.
For a second there, I'm like, is it like a web browser for the soundtrack alone? And then I came to my senses. All that plus trophies, achievements, and the ability to play local co-op just like the originals. That's interesting that it mentions local co-op and not online co-op.
Well, it says the ability to play local co-op, so I'm guessing they're going to have online co-op.
Yeah.
I hope.
It's going to be $14.99. Limited Run Games will also be offering a physical version of the games for select modern and legacy platforms. So, Limited Run Games for the win again.
I'm excited for this because Zombies Ate My Neighbors is still to this day one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. I mean, it's up in the top 10 Super Nintendo games for me. I love Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I never got to play Ghoul Patrol, so the fact that both of these are going to be available and they're going to be enhanced, like, that's very cool to me. I'm going to be purchasing these.
I might purchase them.
And I would love to have a physical version of the games, too. So,
especially
if they do an original Super Nintendo version of it, I would love to pick that up.
I mean, that would look really neat on my shelf.
Yeah, it would. And for our last story, who did this come from? This one's from me. This is also from Nintendo Life. Got a lot of Nintendo Life stories this month. Nintendo expands its Switch Online, SNES, and NES service with 5 more titles. Let's see. On the NES front, they have Caveman Ninja, otherwise known as Joe and Mac. I like that game. Let's see. It was a Data East title. Magical Drop 2, never heard of it, previously Japan only, and they're joined by Spanky's Quest, okay, and let's see, Super Baseball Simulator 1000, no thank you. Sole NES offering this month is Jaleco's 1985 title, Ninja Jajamaru-kun, and that's it. I don't know that one at all.
And online, fans are livid that Earthbound is not on this list.
Yes, I know. And I mean, this is an okay Super Nintendo lineup for this month. I mean, Joe and Mac is good. I remember Spanky's Quest. I never played it. The other two, I've never even heard of. I've heard of Super Baseball Simulator, but...
Oh, yeah, but...
I don't really play sports games, so that one has no value no to me whatsoever.
Or dead to me.
It just seems weird that they haven't released Earthbound at this point, because they know how popular that game was, still is, and yet they won't release it, and it's a Nintendo property. It's not like they have to. It's not like they have to, you know, like, license it. It's a Nintendo property.
100%. I don't understand how you get to 100 titles available with glaring omissions like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we got Baseball Simulator 1.0. Yee.
I can guarantee you this.
Baseball.
There's going to be, like, 10 people that play that game, if that.
I'm going to play it just to prove you wrong.
So you'll be the 11th person.
I haven't turned on my Switch in a month.
But Joe and Mac is a solid title. If nobody's ever played that, it's actually very reminiscent of the game I'm going to be reviewing tonight, which I was going to make comparisons to, because I remember Joe and Mac was actually one of the first games I rented for the Super Nintendo back in the day. And I like that game. What's that?
In that little clamshell box.
Yeah. Oh, that sound. I would love to hear that sound again.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'll play some of these other games just to see what they're about. Magical Drop 2 kind of sounds like a pretty enjoyable, almost like a Bejeweled or maybe like a type of game. So it might be pretty fun. Spanky's Quest, I'll try it, but I don't know. I don't feel comfortable playing Spanky's Quest.
No, get good.
But that's going to do it for the news this week. And now we're moving into this month in video game history. In May of 1985, Namco releases Metro Cross. I remember me and Derek talking about this last year because that the game art looks pretty weird, but very 80s, and I don't know why I want to have a poster of that.
That is a very, you know what? I don't know why you would want a poster of that.
I don't know. It's so 80s. It just makes me want it.
Well, in 1989, Sega releases Golden Axe, the first game, believe it or not, in the Golden Axe series.
You don't say.
That's like saying the first Golden Axe game in the Golden Axe series.
Who was your go-to in Golden Axe? Did you ever play it a lot in the arcade?
I didn't, no. I don't even remember because it was one of those games where it just kind of languished on the shelf, so to speak, to me.
Yeah.
Because I had other things to do. So I didn't really have a go-to.
Yeah, I never played it on any of the consoles. I always played it in the arcade. And dwarves are always my go-to in fantasy games. If there's a dwarf character, I'm playing him.
Well, that sounds like who you need to roll for D&D.
Yeah, well, I always played dwarves in World of Warcraft. So.
Oh, I mean, we'll have to talk later.
May 11th through the 13th of 1995, the first annual Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, is held in Los Angeles, California. And now it's pretty much irrelevant.
Basically, you know, before that, they used to just do CES.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas. So I don't even know why they started doing the E3. I'll have to read up on that.
Well, back then it was all the different technology companies would get together, you know, Sony, Nintendo, and this was back before the internet was a thing really. And that was the way everybody got to learn about all the new stuff. And now nobody needs that anymore because they could just make a Twitter post about what's coming out.
Well, there's Nintendo Direct, there's PlayStation State of Play, yeah. Xbox is really the only one that uses that platform to make big announcements at this time. So it's, but you know, they still did the same thing in CES though. That's what I meant by that. Is,
yeah.
You know, I guess it's so they would have the spotlight because, you know, LG is going to be announcing its flat screen 700-inch television that allows you to walk into your favorite show. So they don't want that to be what overshadows the PlayStation 9.
Well,
so
I think it was more E3 was more on the entertainment side as far as like video games and things of that nature. And with CES, it's more like consumer products.
Well, yeah, and that's why they were a part of it for so long is because they are, in fact, consumer products. Yeah. You know, because
nobody wants to see about the new Whirlpool dishwasher that with the LED screen at, you know, an entertainment.
Dishwasher
expo.
Have LED screens now?
Yes, they do.
Shut up and take my money.
How else am I going to wash the office when I'm washing ditches? You know, you can just put them on in the washing machine and then just go watch it on your TV. Bollocks!
That's what she said.
All right, last one's all yours.
May 10th, Super Mario Brothers Deluxe is released for the Game Boy Color in Japan.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers Deluxe was a beautiful package, and I didn't have a Game Boy. For many years,
I didn't
but a lot of people really purchased this thing. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I had
an original Game Boy, but the only game I had for it was Link's Awakening. And then my mom started playing it more than I did, so it pretty much became hers.
That's pretty funny. That's kind of like what happened to my Nintendo. I had a Nintendo, and it was Dr. Mario. My grandma played it more than I did.
Yeah.
And so I never had my Nintendo. So finally she bought herself a Nintendo so I could play my games. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember when Super Mario Brothers 2 came out. My mom did not like video games at all till Super Mario Brothers 2 came out. And she became addicted to that game, and I had to fight her for the NES so I could play too.
Mortal Kombat! You know what's really funny is that, you know, just me thinking about it, is that my little girl, she plays Fortnite a whole lot, but now I play, her mom plays, her stepdad plays. It's become to a point where she doesn't find it as fun anymore because we're all around.
Yeah. It's not the it thing to do once the parents are into it.
Right. Hey, do you want to be in squads today? No, I think I'll sit here and play Stardew Valley.
That's why if I had kids and once they got to like 13 years old, I'd be like, all right, let's stay around the house today and drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes all day.
Don't worry. I've preloaded all the porn sites on your phone.
You want some crack? Maybe.
Oh,
not.
What's this? Is this the weed I'm giving you for your birthday?
It's probably a good reason I don't have kids.
The tooth fairy left this whole bag of weed.
That's not a bag of teeth. That's cocaine rocks. Yeah, we should probably move on from that. Before I go into the review for tonight, Derek normally does the shout-outs, but tonight I'm going to do it. And I want to give a shout-out to all of our Patreons, patrons, or patrons, however you want to say it. Those people. Armez Jackson, Xblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Randy Bailey, Tyler Watson, Brandon Rutledge, Donner Party of Five, Gus and Penny, Jason May, and our newest patron, Matthew Salmon. And of course, all the new patrons, if you could send us your social media info, either on Twitter, Facebook, email, or on Patreon, and we will give you your proper social media shout-outs. So thank you guys for keeping us above that $50 level so we can do the commentary tracks that we do every month. This last month we did Brain Scan, which was one of my favorite commentaries that we've done. And I don't know how Wally felt about it. I had a good time.
Oh, I had a blast watching that movie because it was not what I thought it was going to be. And it wasn't a good movie, and I'm glad it wasn't because it made it fun to watch. It was fun bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a good bad. It's not...
Right. It's like Little Monsters if it was A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. So, yeah, we like doing those every month. And if you get us to $100 a month, our next stretch goal, $100 a month, we will start doing those commentary tracks in the Discord so you can listen to us while we do it. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just please head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro and throw us as little as a dollar a month.
It's back to the 80s like never before. Things aren't all rainbows and shortcakes at the corner of Elm and E Streets. Molly Slater just wants to forget everything she can't remember and play heavy metal with her best friend in the garage. And maybe get a date for prom, if he's not a total skeeze. But someone in this burb has been killing redheads, and Molly has the reddest hair of them all. When a night of babysitting gone wrong gets her in the crosshairs of the local gang scene, fabulous secrets are revealed to her. The hunted becomes the hunter as she prowls the darkness that has crept into her sleepy town. But a far more sinister force, something from another world, has other plans in store for her. Jukebox Hero by Jason Stewart will be available on Kindle and paperback wherever books are sold on April 30th.
And on that note, let's move into our review for this evening. Prehistoric Man is a platforming video game for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, developed by Titus Interactive and published by Kimco in Japan in 1995 as P-Man and the Titus France elsewhere in 1996. It is a sequel to Prehistoric 2, featuring similar graphics but a richer and different story and additional non-player characters, which among other things provide hints and a tutorial. It was later released for the Game Boy Advance and the Nintendo DSi as a DSiWare re-release, with the latter being released in North America on February 15th, 2010. The plot, like its predecessor, Prehistoric Man, takes place in the Stone Age. In the middle of the night, greedy dinosaurs steal all the food from a small village. With winter coming and the village inhabitants facing starvation, the village chief summons Sam, a young and agile villager, tasks him with obtaining food to help the village survive the impending winter. I'd never heard of this game until it was dropped on the Nintendo Switch Super Nintendo shop, or whatever you call it, like a month or two ago, or a couple of months ago. And I figured, you know, I'll give it a shot, just see what it's all about. Because like I said earlier, I enjoyed Joe and Mac, and this kind of, I was thinking maybe, is this like Joe and, kind of a Joe and Mac ripoff, or what is this about? So I started playing it, and I was kind of surprised at how well this game plays. It plays and looks so good. And I was like, what year did this come out? It was released in Japan in 95. And North America in 96. So it was kind of late in the Super Nintendo's lifespan. But yeah, you know how the later you get in lifespan of a console, the better the games look. So this game plays well, like, and the graphics itself looks like something that was released almost like an indie game released today. Like, you know, I've played a lot of games like Goblin Sword and things of that nature. Reminds me a lot of those games. Like, those games have a lineage back to this, because this game is very good, and I wasn't expecting that, and I ended up playing a lot of it a couple weeks ago. I never finished it, but I got pretty far in it. It's got some really cool level designs, like, you know, like it says, you're going through the levels, you're looking for food. And it's not very linear. Like, it's not just go, you know, from one end of the stage to the other. There's a lot of caves to go through where you go to a different part of the level. You can go either left or right. Depending on which way you go, you can find secrets. You can find different, you know, animals to fight and get, like, you know, a big, huge steak from killing him. Like, that kind of stuff. and there's a lot of humor to the game. There's cool parts of the game where you like hang glide across the entire level, and you don't just, you can't just go straight across. There's like, there's different ways you got to go, and different things you have to do to get through the level and get all the food that you can get, because if you don't collect all the food in the level, you get made fun of by the village elder. He's like, you suck. Like, go do it. Go get us more food, because we're going to starve. And that's pretty much the gist of the game, is just going through trying to find all the food in the levels and bringing it back to the village so that your village can survive the winter.
The art style, just based on the photos that I'm finding here, is very well done in a way that does... I can see what you're saying as far as it looking like a modern take on a retro game.
Yeah.
Because it does look like somebody trying to emulate...
Yes.
I don't know if that's a good way to describe it or not, but it,
no,
I mean, it looks
perfect.
Great.
No, it's a perfect way to describe it. It looks like, you know, someone today making a game that they want it to look retro.
Right.
That's what it feels like. It feels like a modern game that's trying to be retro.
Now, he has sunglasses on in the box art.
Yes.
Is he wearing sunglasses in the game?
Yes, I think so.
Well, this is totally inaccurate.
Yeah.
I am no longer interested.
It's a fun game to play. I mean, if you have a Switch and you know you have the Super Nintendo online, you know, it, do yourself a favor and actually give it a try, because it gave me a very Donkey Kong Country vibe as well. Like the way you go through the levels, like I said, it's not linear. Like Donkey Kong Country is very linear, but there is different paths you can take through the level. Right. This one's a little bit different, like where you can go through caves and come out on a different part of the level. And like I said, you go left or right. You have boss fights at the end of the level. So you're trying to get all the stuff, and you get hints throughout like where you're supposed to go. Like they'll say, you know, take a left at the top of the mountain to find the giant cat or whatever that you need to kill who stole all of our ice cream or whatever. So you have to go and kill him, but you can also explore throughout the level and find all kind of like hidden things throughout the level, like different foods and stuff that you can pick up. And of course, at the end of the level, you get back to the village elder or whatever, and all the food you collected drops into this bowl, and either he says, you know, you did good, or basically tells you, you suck, go do it again. And so,
we need more food.
Yeah, we need more food. And it's a fun game. I mean, there's not really much more to it other than that it's just a fun platformer. And being so late in the life of the Super Nintendo, it was kind of perfected by then, you know, that Super Nintendo level of platforming. So right. if that's your cup of tea, this is a good game. It's not bad at all. I haven't found... I mean, there's the only complaint I have with it is he feels a little heavy. Like when you're trying to jump and do some of the platforming, it feels a little wonky sometimes when you're trying to like precisely land somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
You're not good at the game, yes.
Yeah, well, it feels like the physics of the game, like he feels a little heavy when he's trying to make those
right.
precise jumps. So that's really...
Like he's got like a stomach full of lead.
Yeah, and that's my only complaint about the game. Other than that, I love it, and I spent a lot of time playing it. Like I said, I haven't finished it yet, but I will eventually. And there's a lot of levels to this game. I think... 23 total levels.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, and you...
Super Nintendo game?
And one thing I like about the game is that it potentially has unlimited continues, because when you defeat an enemy, they drop bones, and you collect bones. And you can either... There are different shops you can go to throughout the game to buy certain things, and you can use bones to buy those things. Also, when you die, you spend bones to respawn. So, as long as you have, you kill stuff, I mean, you could potentially just, you know, have as many continues as you like to get through to the end of the game. And I think Wally froze again. Nope, he's back.
No, I'm still here. I'm reading the Wikipedia page.
But yeah, you can, there's no limit to the continues you can have throughout this game.
That's interesting. I really think that it is honestly, you've made me want to go and pick it up. Because I do have the Switch online account, so I don't have to pay for it, which is always a plus in my book. And it looks gorgeous. And the only problem I have with it is the historical inaccuracies.
Yeah.
And the fact that apparently Prehistoric 2 came out before this one.
Yeah, and that's weird. I'm just now reading this, and I'm like, I didn't even know that this was a sequel.
It's what? Huh?
So the original is called Prehistoric 2. So, but there was no Prehistoric 1?
Well, I guess this makes sense considering that this is prehistoric.
Oh, this is... Yeah, there was a Prehistoric. There's Prehistoric 2, and then there's Prehistoric Man, which is part 3. But I guess
the first... We all know it goes 1, 2, Man.
Yeah. Yeah, Rampage says he's playing it right now, and jumping feels a little, and jumping is odd. Yeah, it takes a little getting used to the jumping. It does feel a little wonky when you're getting used to it. But like I said, if you enjoy games like Donkey Kong Country, things like that, Joe and Mac, this is a good game, and I highly recommend it. I would give it, I would give it a solid 7. You know, it's a really good 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as Super Mario Brothers Man, but it is a really good platformer.
Yeah, I need to get back. I'm going to go run through Resident Evil Man again. But yeah, I very much recommend it. I was very pleasantly surprised at how much I liked the game.
I'm excited to actually try it out. I'm not going to do it immediately because you know I'm going to be on Fortnite. trying to unlock my skins, but once I am done with that, I want to sit down with Prehistoric Man and see what happens. That and I've got to heal this before I do anything.
Well, Freddy just said he's been turning streamers into gremlins recently. What have you been feeding them after midnight? Like what? What does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know the reference either.
I thought he was talking about people streaming gremlins. Which I actually thought about doing because I would like to actually, I want to review Gremlins 2 for the NES because from what I hear, it's a very good game.
That is a deeply masochistic thing for you to do considering.
Well, here's the thing. I actually like Gremlins 2. I hate the first
one.
The second one makes me laugh.
Okay. Let me unpack this.
The first one is terrible. I hate that movie.
They're both really good movies.
There's something about the first one.
I will admit, the second one I do enjoy more than the first.
Because it's got heart to it. It's not mean-spirited like the first one is.
I don't know if the first one is mean-spirited.
It is. It's terrible. And it was marketed as a children's movie. You can go to hell, Steven Spielberg. You go straight to hell and you die.
You know, I was 4 when I saw that film. And I didn't have nearly the...
I was 7.
The traumatization that you did.
I slept with... I have told this before on the show. I slept with the lights on until I was 13 years old because of that movie.
Wow. Not to get too far off of topic, have you seen Mitchells versus the Machines?
No, I want to though. It looks very good.
I'm not gonna say it then. Well, you know what? It'd be spoiling it for everybody. But when they get to the mall, they face a threat that I think is hilarious, and I can't wait for you to see it.
Fantastic. I'll let you know as soon as I watch it.
Yes, and you will be watching it with the captions, right?
Yes.
Because people who don't watch it with the captions don't get all of the jokes.
Okay.
I didn't know that until I watched it with my little girl, and I asked her, do you get these jokes? Like, do you know what they're saying here? And she's like, no. You mean I got more jokes than you did? So yeah, it was pretty funny because she was watching it on her profile as opposed to mine, which has captions on.
Freddy vs. All said he's been doing art pieces of streamers as Mogwais.
Oh.
Which, please don't turn me into a Mogwai. I will have nightmares.
No, Mogwai!
I'll have nightmares for months. No, don't do that, please. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. I have a couple of things here for everybody to know that this weekend is, of course, Pensacon. Me and Derek and Mr. Wallace Phelps will be Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. at Voices of Pensacola. We will be doing Nerd Cave Retro Live. So come by and see us there. We'll also be doing Defending Bad Movies 3D. This time it's personal. These are all at Voices of Pensacola. And of course, you can get the Pensacola Pensacon app on the App Store, and that will have an entire schedule of everything. It's a very good app to use if you're going to Pensacon. We're doing that, Defending Bad Movies 3D, on Sunday, May 23rd at 10 a.m. I will be doing In Defense of the Star Wars Holiday Special with our mutual friend Michael Dixon, Saturday, May 22nd at 12:30 p.m. And, of course, I'll be doing the Fantastic People podcast, of course, Saturday, May 22nd at 4:30 p.m. All of these, like I said, at Voices of Pensacola.
Mr. Dixon just loves those controversial topics.
Yes, he does. That was actually, we did that last year in defense of the Star Wars Holiday Special. It was one of the most attended panels of the con. It was crazy in there.
He wanted me to do something Friday with him, but I couldn't get the day off.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. He wanted us to do one, I think it was like 6:30 Friday evening, but I'm like, we're not even going to be in town till like 7, so.
I don't get off of work until 5:30.
Yeah, same as I get off at 4.
Do you have a teleporter I don't know about?
No. So that's going to do it for this week. Anything you would like to throw out there for all the good people, Mr. Phelps?
Just go to facebook.com/WallyIsFunny for all my comedy stuff. I have gone back on stage, and I'm going to continue doing that for as long as they'll have me. I am also at The Real Big Wall on both Twitter and Twitch. So if you want to watch me and Rampage fight the masses on Fortnite, that is where you go. Nice. I stream directly from my PlayStation, so I'm not going to be as whatever as a lot of people are, but it's a lot of fun to listen to us curse at each other, so it's wonderful.
Yeah, go follow him over at Twitch. Needs all the followers over there. So twitch.tv/TheRealBigWall. And for us, we're going to go ahead and, I talked to comedian Sean Patton on Open Micers this week. So it'll be out Friday morning. Or if you want to be a patron of the Open Micers podcast, you can do that and get it early. We talked to comedian Sean Patton this week. It was awesome. Last week, we talked to comic book colorist and producer, editor Renee Witterstater. She's going to be at Pensacon this year. And of course, this show, if you missed last week's episode, if this is your first episode of Nerd Cave Retro, last week, Derek talked to the voice of Bowser himself. Go back and listen to that one if you haven't listened to it already. It was a great
episode. Which reminds me, we have to tell everybody about Meguiar's.
Yes, we will. If you're going to be in Pensacon This year, we are going to meet up and eat at McGuire's at 7 p.m. Saturday evening. So if you want to meet up, just meet us over there. Of course, join the Discord, and you can keep in touch with us during the entire Pensacon goings-on. Just go to our Twitter, at NerdCaveRetro. Up at the very top, there is a link to our Discord. Jump in there. We have a wonderful community of people. We talk to each other all day long. We share memes and music and everything else under the sun. And it's much nicer than Twitter and Facebook, where people are mean and surly. So if you want to be a part of a nice community, come on over and join us. So, Mr. Phelps.
Why I'm not in the community.
Anything else you want to say before we leave tonight?
Live long and smoke meats.
All right, let's get out of here. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We are at nerdcaveretro.com. Of course, on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro. And individually at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond, and at TheRealBigWall. Go buy some merch. We got some really cool t-shirts and stuff over at ncrmerch.com. Of course, our Patreon at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, where if you keep us above that $50 level, we do the extra episodes every month where we commentate cool movies from the past. And if you can't do that, at least go leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are sold. And I know Derek's not here, but I'll just say in his place, the way of the hero leads to the Triforce.
Checker, eh?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.